when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
I think you can get a more discretionary effort from people when you treat them with courtesy and respect. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said, you catch more flies with an ounce of honey than a gallon of gall.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're chatting to Justin Getty, where we talk about his latest property development project and the challenges he has faced so far. He'll also share about his personal fears and setbacks, how he managed to overcome them, and the snippets of good advice he has ever received as part of his journey into becoming a property developer. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. Justin Getty's next development project is in the works. He has currently faced challenges along the way, but this has not dampened his enthusiasm for property developing.
So my next project that I have in the pipeline is a 19-townhouse proposal in a similar suburb. And it's been a different project again, Tyrone, this time because council refused to issue us a permit because we had so many objections from some of the locals that they refused to give us a permit. And so we're now having to go to the Planning Tribunal in Victoria, which is called VCAT, to get that permit refusal reviewed. And it's been another good lesson that on my last project, council was asking me to put more units on the site and we had very little objections. And this time around, it's completely the opposite, where we've got heaps of objections and councillors refused to issue us a permit, even though their planning department said that we should get a permit for 16. So I'm now learning more lessons around the challenges that you face. And this is where you need to have faith and confidence in the people that are on your team, that you're getting really good advice and that what they're proposing is going to stand up when you go into a planning tribunal.
Getty's motivation for the project was in the block of land he was considered using for the project.
This was another 3,000 square meter site, much easier block to deal with because it's fairly level. The first project we did had quite a significant slope on it. And it was just a property that was put on the market. It was going to auction. So I went to the auction. I was the last guy with his hand up in the air at the auction. It actually got passed in because it didn't meet the reserve. And yeah, but just a bit of negotiating and back and forth between the vendor, the agent and myself, we've finally managed to secure that in sort of August 2016. It's taken us about a year to get our plans prepared, go to advertising, deal with all the objections, get our hearing at the council and the notice of refusal, and then you have to spend time going lodging it at the tribunal and waiting for your case to be heard. It's going to be at least 18 months before we get some sort of notice about whether we're going to get our permit or not.
He shares with us his tips for minimizing those out-of-pocket expenses that inevitably come with property development.
I think we've got the planning controls or the laws on our side for the particular site, so I'm pretty confident that we should be able to get a permit. But yes, it does certainly add to the holding costs, and we just have to absorb that as a project cost. The benefit of having a larger project, Tyrone, is that you've got a little bit more room to move and groove. You've got a lot more wiggle room than you would on, say, a duplex or a 3 or 4 unit site. You do have a bit more room to move.
Getty explains the impact of holding costs and why it's important to never underestimate them.
Well, if you're doing a duplex or a 3 or 4 unit site, you might have a projected gross profit of $120,000 or $150,000. And if your holding costs go up by $20,000-$30,000, which is quite possible if you're delayed by 12 months, or if your building price comes in 20 grand more than what you thought, or you get 5 grand less for your properties than you thought you would on the sales prices, well, that has a pretty big impact on your bottom line, your gross profit, and also your net profit and the percentages. Whereas on a bigger project, if you've spread out 20,000 across 19 properties or an extra 50 grand across 19 properties, it's not as big a impact on your bottom on the bottom line.
Getty explains that with holding costs, the figure itself is not high, but it's the short-term costs that need to be factored into the budget, which is why you'll need to have a little bit of a buffer zone.
There's definitely more holding costs, there's higher costs, but there's also more reward. But that's part of the game. And as long as you map all that out and figure out your cash flow requirements, then you'll be fine. And that's another big lesson that I learnt on our 20 townhouse project, was just the need to have cash on hand. You really need liquidity to be able to absorb some of the unexpected costs that come up in developing. And that's why you have a contingency budget to help meet those costs, and rather than just thinking that's an extra bit of profit that you're probably going to take at the end of the project.
He shares his strategy for property developing. Getty describes his strategy as being evolutionary.
Well, my strategy has been somewhat evolutionary, Tyrone, given that I went from a 6-unit project to a 10-unit project to a 14-unit project to a 20-unit project. It's evolved somewhat along the way. What I've realised is that there's a market out there for good townhouse properties, and they're usually owner-occupier buyers, which I think is a really good market to be producing properties for. And I'm always really trying to buy a site where I think I can get a higher yield on it than anybody else. And the way that I go about doing that is by having really good consultants who can help me come up with more efficient designs, or can find ways to get more townhouses or increase the yield.
Not only was his strategy evolutionary, the challenges he's faced gave him opportunities to generate good profit.
The first site that I bought was a challenging site. It had some problems that needed to be resolved. I mean, it had a lot of trees on it. And if you can find sites that seem difficult or that have some challenges, that can be where other developers or other buyers are hesitant in jumping in. But if you can find ways of solving that problem and overcoming it, then there's some good profit to be made or good opportunities to be had.
He stresses the importance of investing in yourself and not seeing it as a waste of money.
Well, it's about what you value in your life. So you need to figure out what your values are. So a lot of people have a mismatch between wanting to be rich. So they think, oh, I really want to be rich. I want to have $1 million or $2 million or a $5 million property portfolio. But when they sit down and really analyze what's important in their life, which they can see from the things that they do and what they spend their money on and what they have surrounding them in their house or in their study, if that doesn't match up, if they're not prepared to invest in themselves or to save money, then it's highly unlikely that they're ever going to have a $5 million property portfolio.
As Getty was trying to deconstruct himself, he was looking for purpose and trying to figure out what he really wanted to do for the rest of his life.
I did a lot of training. I did a couple of courses with John DeMartini, which I found to be really useful. And just, it wasn't an overnight thing. I didn't sort of wake up one morning and it all became clear, crystal clear, that I wanted to do property developing. I spent a lot of time researching, reading, contemplating, reflecting on what I wanted to do with my life. And then I slowly whittled down and realized that I wanted to get into to property. And originally I was set on being a property investor, so buying and holding properties. And I read a lot of books around how to do that. And it was actually while I was listening to a podcast that Troy featured on that the light bulb went on, and he was talking about developing. And that's when the light bulb went on for me. And I thought, yep, that's it. So that was the moment where I realized that it was developing that I really wanted to get into. And from that moment on, I just continually kept taking little steps to make it happen.
For Getty, property development didn't happen overnight. It evolved over time. When he first went into property developing, Getty was in a full-time job and had his first child. These changes made him take the plunge into property development.
I think for a lot of people, having children is a moment that really makes them stop and reflect on what they want to do with their life, and that certainly happened for me. I think before that, I was happy cruising along, didn't have any significant responsibilities, and you could just do whatever you wanted in life. But once you become a parent, you certainly have a lot more responsibilities and you start thinking a lot more long term. It's no longer about, you know, what are you going to do next week, or what's the next holiday you're going to go on, what are you going to spend all your money on. You have to start taking a bit of a longer term picture. So that was a moment for me that caused me to pause and reflect and start thinking about what I wanted to do. And there's certainly something special about having children, and that can cause you to search for something deeper.
Yeah, I can totally relate. Having kids of my own has also made me think, and it's probably the reason why it's driven me to also do this podcast as well, is because I want a change in my life as well too. So very similar in terms of that.
The kids certainly are very challenging too. I mean, they challenge you daily. So it's about that balance in life and understanding that not everything's going to be easy, but sometimes the things that are challenging and really hard are the most rewarding. And so I've been trying to embrace those challenges and enjoy them. Not always successfully, Tyrone.
Coming up after the break, we'll look at the importance of educating yourself as a primary step towards property development.
I paid for mentoring and training around about the process of developing, but certainly around buying your first development site and getting into developing, I had all the common fears that I'm sure most people have.
What's the best advice he's received as a property developer?
I think the best advice I've ever received is that you can only evolve as far as the biggest challenge that you're prepared to take on.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners. I just wanted to let you know about the podcast show notes I've created for you that you can download at freepropertyresource.com. Inside these show notes, I've included a full summary, details of the resources recommended, plus much, much more. Just go to freepropertyresource.com to grab it now. It's free and it'll make the rest of the episode so much more impactful. Again, that's freepropertyresource.com. Now back to the show. Initially, Getty had some fears about taking the plunge into property development. He overcame this by talking to mentors.
Paid for mentoring and training around about the process of developing. But certainly around buying your first development site and getting into developing, I had all the common fears that I'm sure most people have, which I remember writing a list down of what all those fears were just so I could identify them and work through them. And it was things like not having enough money or losing money on a deal, going broke, buying a dud property, struggling to be able to make ends meet. I mean, they were common fears that I had, but fortunately I refused to allow them to stop me from moving ahead and buying and doing what I really wanted to do.
Getty recommends John DeMartini for anyone looking to get into that right mindset.
I've done a lot of work with a guy called John DeMartini, who's a philosopher and teacher, and he's helped me a lot with my mindset and just taking a much bigger perspective on the world. So I would recommend any people look into John's work if they're interested in things like that. I also did my training through a guy called Troy Harris in Melbourne. Troy runs a really good program. I think it's through his rookiedeveloper.com.au website. So if people are interested in the nuts and bolts type of approach to developing, which I would highly recommend because there's just so many pitfalls and ways to easily lose or spend 5, 10, 15 grand without thinking about it. So getting training and mentoring, I think, is something really valuable. And I also think it's really wise to invest money into good mentoring and or good coaching or good training. Because I know people, and it's easy to try and think you can do it on the cheap, and in the era of the internet, you can find anything on the internet. But I think it's priceless getting good advice from people who you trust and who can really guide you and streamline and accelerate your growth.
It's so true. And at the end of the day, it's what you pay for is what you get as well too. And especially in this industry, you don't know who to trust unless you know you've actually done what they've done and shown what they've done.
So you get people who are prepared to go and spend $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $1 million on an investment property, but they'll balk at spending, you know, $2,500, $5,000, $10,000 on educating themselves because they think that it's wasted money.
In terms of resources, Getty sought out books by John DeMartini and Chris Voss, who's a former FBI hostage negotiator.
John's written a lot of good books, so certainly try and track down his stuff. But a couple of classics that I really enjoyed that I still flick through is The Laws of Success, Think and Grow Rich, a couple of other. I just interviewed a guy on my podcast who's a former FBI hostage negotiator, a guy called Chris Voss. And Chris wrote a book around negotiating called Never Split the Difference. And I think that's a sensational book that I'd really encourage all your listeners to go out and read. I think it'll make a big difference in their life. They'll certainly become better negotiators, which will help them to acquire properties and also maybe even help them buy furniture cheaper than what they could, which I've been able to do in the last couple of months. So it's paid itself off already, that book. And then one other book that people might want to read, which I found quite interesting, was a book by MJ DeMarco called Fast Lane Millionaire. And that was a really good book around taking charge of your life and really getting stuck in.
The best advice that Getty received was to take on big challenges and to surround yourself with role models.
I think the best advice I've ever received is that you can only evolve as far as the biggest challenge that you're prepared to take on. And what that means is you're only ever going to be as big as what you are prepared to take, what you're prepared to go for. So if you think about that from maybe a sporting analogy, or if you want to, let's look at tennis. If you want to be a B-grade tennis player, then that's, and you join a B-grade competition, well, then that's, you're only ever going to be a B-grade tennis player. If you decide you want to be an A-grade tennis player, then you go into the A-grade and then you become A-grade. You start to play with A-grade players. If you want to be a professional tennis player, then you got to step it up and you move into the professional ranks and you have to train more and you become really good. But if you want to be a top 10 professional tennis player, then you've got to have that mindset, and then you'll move towards becoming a top 10 player. You're no longer going to be, you're going to be so much better than a B grade tennis player. And so that's a really good piece of advice for me, that you can only be as big and as involved as far as the biggest challenge that you're prepared to take on.
That's great advice. And it, what I really, really admire what you've shared there is really surrounding yourself as well with the right people. If you want to be in the pro league, you've got to be up in that level and think like them as well too.
It's easy to hang around with pro people these days. And by that I mean there's lots of podcasts out there. You can read books that are written by people that you admire or people that are successful. So hanging out with people doesn't have to be in real life. That can be virtual, that can be via books. So you can certainly get access to the thoughts and ideas of, you know, really successful people really easily these days.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. A touch of a button or just simply putting onto social media, you'd be able to get access to these people very, very easily.
And the other piece of advice I've got, or that I've been taught along the way, is that life is always in balance. So there's never good and bad. That's just perceptions that we project onto things. So 'cause any situation can have, you can either perceive it to be good or bad, but in reality it's there is no good and bad. It's just how life is. So it's up to you to choose whether you want to see it as an obstacle, whether you want to see it as a challenge, or whether you want to see it as an opportunity. And you're totally in charge and accountable for how your life turns out.
Getty has a habit of taking accountability and cites this as a reason behind his success. He believes that only you are responsible for your successes and failures.
Well, I think taking total personal accountability is really important. So don't blame other people for what's happening in your life. And that includes whether you have consultants working with you, whatever it is, you need to take total accountability for you and for your life. The other thing I like to do is a daily review of my goals. So I do my goals every year and have my long-term goals, and every day I'll spend 5 minutes in the morning just reviewing those. I think it's a really good way of just keeping them at the forefront of your mind. And something that's a little bit more tactical day-to-day is that I try, when I'm working with people, to ask people to help or ask questions rather than telling. I find that you can work with people a lot better if you find ways of asking questions that can help to get things done or to help you get what you need. And that doesn't mean that I don't tell people when I need something, but I find that if you're working with people, if you can ask them to help you or if you can ask them to do things, you get a much better result and a much stronger working relationship with them than if you just tell people what to do.
Sure. Yeah. It's. I mean, this is. It doesn't matter whether or not it's property development or in the corporate world, everyone likes to be treated with respect and likes to be part of it rather than being told.
Yeah, and I think you can get a more discretionary effort from people when you treat them with courtesy and respect. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said, you catch more flies with an ounce of honey than a gallon of gall.
The advice that Getty would give to his younger self would be?
Probably say, you're looking really good. You're looking much younger and fresher than you are. Maybe you will in 10 years' time.
You're the first to say that to me.
Well, that would have been before I had kids, so I probably had longer hair and certainly less lines on my face. Tight, Ryan.
I love that. That's great.
No, I'd probably say, or I would say, don't let fear hold you back. Buy more sites. We can think about all the sites that even 4 or 5 years ago that we could have bought that have probably doubled in value by now. That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
And don't let other people's judgments influence your decision-making.
Getty is excited about the future of property development and his upcoming projects.
I think for me, what's most exciting about the journey over the next 5 years is the fact that it's developing and doing projects is repeatable. So you can continue to repeat your success if you follow a process and a formula, then you should be able to continue to repeat. I think there's good market prospects across most of Australia, but certainly in Melbourne. I think we've got a strong market. I don't see that fundamentally changing over the next 5 to 10 years. I also like the fact that each project is different. There's different challenges and different things to learn on each project. And I think that's really exciting, and it's really keeps me interested. And I think the most exciting thing is the fact that I'm going to be able to continue building homes for people. So I like to think that we're in the business of building dream machines, Tyrone. So we're building properties that help people realize their dreams and help them achieve things in life, and we can play a small role in that.
If you wish to connect with Justin Getty, learn more about his strategy, you can reach out to him via...
They can listen to my podcast if they're interested in property development, which is at www.propertydeveloperpodcast.com or in iTunes. They can send me an email at justin@propertydeveloperpodcast.com. Or if they want to take a look at the projects that we've been doing, they can go to my website, which is gehde.com.au, which is gehde.com.au.
Thank you to Justin Getty, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, then visit our website at propertyinveststory.com. Simply type in the search bar, Justin Getty, and select that episode to learn more about his story. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.